call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Hey, good morning. Welcome. Thanks for stopping by. It's feedback. 715-845-2155 is the phone number. 715-845-2155. If you're a first-time listener, tuning in, maybe driving through the area for the first time, like, what the heck is this radio show? I've heard them all talk about how great this radio show is, and it doesn't sound so great. Hang tight. We will grow on you, much like a fungus. Listen to us.
Or Ebola.
Ebola. If you listen to us, you know what I'd say? Give us a week or so. And then you'll probably get to the point where you're like, okay, that was pretty entertaining. I didn't like that so much. But you'll find that we have gotten under your skin to the point where you can't live without us. So give us a week or so, listen to us on a fairly regular basis, and then you'll be addicted. You can't find any way to live your life without it. A lot of things happening today. First of all, it's Open Phone Friday. Anything that you would like to talk about, we're willing to discuss. You want to talk about Tom? Fine. You want to talk about me? Fine. If you got a praise, you got complaints, not a problem. Today's your day. For whatever reason, if we didn't complete a subject matter to your satisfaction, we'll rehash it. If there's something new that we haven't talked about yet that you think we need to, fine. Not a problem. 715-845-2155. New report coming out about Mr. Bergdahl. The report is saying that apparently he converted to Islam and then declared jihad, the holy war against those that do not submit to the Islamic laws. That seems to be the new point. The documents that have come to light show that Bergdahl at one point escaped his captors for 5 days. Was kept upon his recapture in a metal cage. The documents also report detailed discussions of prisoner swaps and other attempts at a negotiated resolution to the case that appeared to have commenced as early as fall of 2009. There's a lot of information that's coming out about what's going on. And, of course, this case has ignited people's fascination into what Bergdahl was about. And so they're looking into what his circumstance was even before he went over there. Apparently, according to these documents, Sergeant Bergdahl at one point during his captivity converted to Islam, fraternized openly with his captors, and declared himself a mujahid. Or warrior for Islam, according to the secret documents prepared on the basis of a purported eyewitness account and, of course, obtained by Tom's favorite, Fox News. So, what do we do? I think what it comes down to at this point is this. What do we do with a prisoner of war that comes back that apparently, I mean, let's put it mildly, may have some emotional issues to deal with? Is he a traitor? Does he have mental issues? What's his case, and what do we do with him? Do we help him? Do we get him mental treatment? Do we put him into a facility and get him well? Do we throw him into Leavenworth? Do we send him back? What do we do? Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Tony.
Tom? Tony. Thanks for calling, Tony. What can we do for you?
Well, I was thinking about this Bergdahl thing. You know, if the media and everybody just quits concentrating on Bergdahl so much and concentrate on the 5 detainees that were let go. One of them is wanted for the UN for crimes against humanity. If we focus on that, I think that has much more importance.
I agree with you, but see, the United States made sure that these 5 dirtbags that were released from their happy, safe home at Gitmo, that they're going to be now in the horrible confinement of the entire nation of Qatar. And that while, sure, they're free to roam around the nation at their free will, that's punishment enough for the damages.
No,
and
not.
The apparently the White House
he was being sarcastic.
I'm using humor.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Apparently, the White House thinks it's enough of a punishment because have you been to Qatar this time of the year?
I have never been to Qatar.
I have to agree with you. I do not understand the reasoning of giving up five individuals that were leadership of Al-Qaeda that any reasonable individual with any modicum of common sense at all would understand that these individuals are not going to go back into a society and go, you know, we learned our lesson. We spent 10 years at Gitmo. I certainly don't want to go back. No.
I find it hard.
They hate the United States.
Well, I find it hard that a lot of Democrats are still backing Obama's decision to let these guys go. The only ones who aren't are people like Feinstein, the ones who actually do have to deal with these types of things every day. But the zealots out there, still want to back the guy.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And this is a question that I've proposed, is that at what point do you step away from the leadership and go, you're not doing this right. This is a horrible circumstance. You're doing more damage to our country than help. I can't support you anymore.
Exactly.
At what point do you do that?
It's not politics anymore. This is serious. It's kind of for all marbles now.
Exactly. Tony, thank you very much for calling into the program. Take care. All right, let's go to Gordon. Gordon, you're up next. What's on your mind?
Hey, Seth, you know, today's the 70th anniversary of D-Day, and I was wondering if you guys had talked about that.
That was on my agenda. That is on the thing that I wanted to talk about. Yeah, it is.
You know, and it's ironic that we're celebrating the 70th anniversary of real American heroes, but we were left to talk about a deserter and a president who let these five terrorists go, made the entire world unsafe.
Let me ask you a question. This is completely hypothetical and not one we can get a definitive answer to. What do you think would have been the outcome of World War II had President Obama been our leader at the time we had to go to war?
Well, we'd all be talking Japanese and under German control, Japanese control. I mean, we would have lost the war. You know, it would have been a totally different scenario. And who knows, we probably wouldn't even enter the war. You know, we probably would have been hiding underneath our debt.
It's just an interesting thought. Now that you know, yes, this is the 70th anniversary of D-Day, where our soldiers, talk about an insurmountable odds. How many do you know how many soldiers we lost in the invasion, the initial invasion? I know it's a horrible, horrible number. And thanks, Gordon, for calling in. It is a horrible number of the amount of soldiers that we lost in the invasion. And going into it, you know that there were some military leaders that were thinking, this is not going to turn out
well. Dwight Eisenhower had two speeches written, one if the thing was successful and one if it wasn't. And he had the unsuccessful one out and ready to go because it didn't look good. The weather was crappy.
Yeah.
The attacks were bogged down on the beaches. Yeah. It didn't look good there for a while.
Clearly, God was with us at the time that we did this.
156,000 troops landed in Normandy. The American forces numbered 73,000. As far as soldiers lost.
Well, take a look at the numbers.
I will. I'll
talk to Wayne while you're doing that. Wayne, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I've just got one quick point. I don't know if anybody's noticed it, but Obama drives me crazy. He'll be talking about Al-Qaeda, and he'll say, these folks. You know, just like he's down buying a duck call for the Robertson.
Well, I haven't noticed that. No, I'm sorry. He refers to Al-Qaeda and the terrorists as folks, huh?
Yeah, he's done it for, I don't know. I've noticed it quite a long time ago, but he'll be talking about him. And we're dealing with these folks or something, just like it's his neighbors over a driveway dispute or something. No.
I will pay closer attention to that. Hopefully he doesn't think that we can invite him to the Rose Garden and have a teachable moment over a beer.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy, for calling into the program. Thanks for listening.
There is no official casualty figure for D-Day. Under the circumstances, accurate record-keeping was very difficult. For example, some troops who were listed as missing may actually have landed in the wrong place and have rejoined their units later. The estimate is, though, that the Allied casualties were 10,000, including 2,500 dead. Broken down by nationality, it says the usual D-Day casualty figures are approximately 2,700 British, 946 Canadians, 6,603 Americans.
10,000 in one day.
Yeah.
The first day of the real battle. Compare that, if you will, to the total number in the last 10 years in Afghanistan and Iraq. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be right back.
Be the first to know when school's closed. Text SCHOOL to 39327 and get school closing alerts from the WSAU newsroom. From AM 550, FM 99.9, and WSAU.com.
Liberals, socialists, or communists. I think that we have to do something, and I would like to know about house arrest.
Yeah, okay. There's this pesky thing called the Constitution that allows you to have political viewpoints in this country. I mean,
do you know anything about it, Tom? Have you looked it up?
As far as what? As far as taking Americans and placing them under house arrest for their political viewpoints?
This would be a good thing because
this would be a good thing.
The guard to protect to make sure that they're not doing any more damage to my country than they have already done.
All right, hold on a second, Carol. Let me ask you a question now. I am getting the impression, correct me if I'm wrong, you are a diehard conservative, you love America, you love the Constitution, and you want to protect it by any means possible, yes?
God bless America, yes.
Okay, all right.
The way I feel.
And so you feel, and I will probably agree with you on this, that the liberal, progressive viewpoint and growing movement is very detrimental to the future of our country, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And so you think that we should probably maybe round these people up and re-educate them, put them in a camp, perhaps, and bring them to understanding of the right way to do things.
And it's not only that. It's the fact that they're corrupting us from inside our country. They're getting more illegals in this country than they are Americans.
Okay, but Carol, let me go back to it. Do you think it would be a good idea to round up liberals and progressives and segregate them from our society and maybe put them in a facility, a nice place, where it's comfortable, they're fed well, but they are educated on the history of America and helped to come to understand the right way to do things? You know, the conservative Republican way. Do you think that would really be a good idea?
I'm talking about Americans. I'm talking about the United States saving our country. I'm not talking about... We got Republicans that are moderate. They are just hiding, you know. There are a bunch of people in our Senate and our Congress that are doing wrong for us.
Okay.
I want to see something done with this.
Okay.
And if the Congress and Senate, and they got people from, they're paid, the people are paid off to vote for them. I mean, I want to see this stop. I want to see that we can take...
I would like to see the corruption ended as well, Carol, but I want to make sure that you and I agree that the Constitution is precious and should be adhered to. Rounding up our enemies, those that have a political viewpoint opposite of ours, even though it may be detrimental, we can't do that. That is unconstitutional. Remember what we did to Japanese Americans during World War II?
Yes.
That was heinous.
What about this house arrest? What do we know about it? For people who are...
We can't put them under house arrest either, Carol.
You can't?
No.
Oh.
You cannot. Carol, what law have they broken? Why would they need to be detained? What grounds do we have for detaining imprisoning?
A lot of these people have done a lot of devious stuff, and if we just... You just bring it to a head, we could take and really do something about it. We've been lied to, we've been deceived.
Let me give you an example of an individual that did that. There was a man that came to power, and he felt that he knew exactly what was the best idea for his nation.
Oh, you talked about Hitler, huh?
No, ma'am.
Nope.
He knew what was best for his nation, and so he tried his best to take it in a direction that he felt would lead it to strength and glory. But there were some citizens that disagreed with him. So he decided to bring them together and place them in work camps and that type of thing where they could be beneficial. They would be happy as far as everybody else is, but it would re-educate them and help them come to understand the glory that was the Soviet Union. Joseph Stalin starved 20 million of his own people.
Yes, that is true.
Okay. we cannot go down that road, Carol.
No, I don't believe in starving people.
Well,
I just believe...
Carol, listen, we can't put them in any kind of detainment or determent camps. That is completely inhumane. You can't do that.
We can keep them in their... In the,
no, ma'am.
In the...
No, ma'am.
Their houses.
No, ma'am.
They can't vote. They can't do any more devious stuff.
Ma'am, that is a dictatorship, and that is not the Constitution of the United States. That's not American.
You know, my favorite thing, I saw this movie, The Shooter, and when the senator said, you can't do anything to me because I'm a United States senator, and that's true. We cannot do anything to these people, not even their own, their own places like
their constituents
right.
is the word
Carol,
you're looking for. Yeah.
Thank you very, very much for calling in.
By the way, The Shooter is a good movie.
The problem with that circumstance is that should that attitude catch fire and become prevalent, you are then looking at, seriously, you are looking at armed revolution and a civil war.
There is a faction of the society that is out there that believe that those camps have already been set up.
Yeah, that, well, they haven't.
That type of
thing, I understand your frustration, Carol. I got it. But we have to adhere to the Constitution of the United States. And rounding up those that disagree with us, that's not how it works. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. If you want to be a part of the conversation, please, 715-845-2155.
Breaking news, severe weather. Hear it on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.